This is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our number here is 395-1450. This morning, our guest is Superintendent of Schools Brian Davis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Duke.
And you have a guest with you, I see.
I do have a guest today. I have Bert Hara here with me, and he is the Executive Director of Destination Education. And what we thought we would do this morning is share a little bit about what's happening across our seven area school districts under the umbrella of what's called Cradle to Career, and mm-hmm. how we're partnering and working with different organizations to ensure that all of our students are ready upon graduation from high school for some kind of post-secondary education or training to make sure that we're contributing to the economic revitalization of our county and our state as a whole. So
right.
all about talent development. So okay. we welcome Bert this morning.
Welcome. Good morning. Good to be with you.
So let's talk a little bit about the whole premise of Destination Education, mm-hmm. Bert, and how you got involved with that, and what is the larger vision and mission of that work?
Well, originally I was with Latin America's United for Progress, and you've been working with the school system, and there's a lot of excellent, we have excellent schools in the community, great nonprofits. Much of the work, however, that we've been doing in isolation, not out of desire to work in an isolated manner, but in communities that have raised the educational bar, the community has really worked hand in hand very closely with the schools and owned the educational journey of their youth and their children as a community issue rather than just something that we put on the schools. And so the Holland Zeeland Community Foundation recognized that and has brought together Destination Education as an initiative where we recognize schools can't do it alone. As Jamie Vollmer came to the community a couple of years ago, you're fond of saying that students only spend 8% of their lives in formal education between 0 and 18. And we recognize that if our students are going to be prepared for careers, that we need to partner with Ready for School, which takes the 0 to 5 piece, and then Destination Education seeks to come alongside the schools and many of the excellent businesses and nonprofits that are doing work from K all the way through, say, 16, to make sure that our students are successful, together with Ready for School, forming this Cradle to Career community, wrapping around, working together hand in hand with the schools to make sure that our students are prepared, because the economy in the 21st century is very different than what our parents grew up in, where you could count on a high school diploma getting you a pretty decent job, you know, for life. That is no longer the case in the present, and much less so in the future, where the situation really is going to be turned upside down, whereas very few people needed some training beyond high school. In the future, by far, somewhere between 60 to 70%, it is predicted, will have to obtain some kind of degree or credential in order to obtain a decently paying job to make a living. So that, in a nutshell, is what Destination Education is about.
And, Juk, the really powerful thing about this is the collective impact we're working to have across the community. And so Holland Public Schools, Holland Christian Schools, West Ottawa, Zeeland Public, Black River, Saugatuck, and Hamilton have all come together mm-hmm. under this Cradle to Career initiative. So we're really talking about the greater Holland-Zeeland area. And we're working very closely also with the different chambers that represent those groups as well. So we have the Michigan West Coast Chamber, the Hamilton Chamber, and so on, to really bridge not only the nonprofits that Bert has talked about and the school systems, but also business and industry. And I really need to do a shout-out and thank some of our business leaders who have been partnering with us in this, specifically Franco Bianchi of Hayworth and Brian Walker of Herman Miller. They have been part of the Model Community Initiative, and they were identified as the two chairs or co-chairs of the Education Committee. And I think it was a very strategic move on their part that you have two of the competitors in the furniture industry right here yeah. in West Michigan who recognize that schools have been placed in very competitive places with each other as well. So how do we bring more of that collaborative spirit around that? And each of the representative boards recently attended a meeting that we had out at the center here in Michigan State Center with the biochemistry component, sponsored by the Community Foundation of the Holland Zeeland area, to share with them this whole Cradle to Career initiative. And we're really establishing some community benchmarks from which we can measure success. And Ready for School has been doing a lot of that with the preschool component and looking at how many kindergartners in this Holland-Zeeland area are actually ready for school. And when this work first began, it was less than 55% of our kindergartners ready for school. They've established some new benchmarks to get that up to 75%, I believe, by 2015. We're making progress to that end. But it can't stop at kindergarten. We need to talk about what are those benchmarks that look like then throughout the K-12 experience to make sure all students are prepared for this post-secondary piece. So Destination Education has been working on a community dashboard. And Bert, can you talk a little bit about that data and kind of where we're striving to get towards there?
Yeah, you know, it'd be wonderful if we had one piece like you can have with Ready for School. But we actually have recognized that there are several benchmarks, several crossroads in a student's educational journey where we have to make sure that they're succeeding at that point if they are to progress to the next. So the first major one that comes after kindergarten readiness is third grade reading, because at that point you're not so much learning to read, but you're utilizing your reading skills in order to learn. So everything builds off of that. Then another key indicator that comes into play is eighth grade math, because we recognize that if we look at eighth grade math proficiency as it's measured now, you know, through the MEEP scores, that there's a high correspondence between the percentage of students that are proficient in math in our community and the percentage of students that go on to graduate from some kind of post-secondary educational experience later on. So we recognize there's a close relation. If students are not doing well in math by eighth grade, it's very unlikely they're going to do well in math and science courses in high school to prepare for that education beyond high school. So we want to make sure that we're working with our students K through 7 so that they're prepared in math. Another key component that national research has shown is important is that students have to have a clear expectation of themselves by eighth grade. They have to see themselves pursuing an education beyond high school by eighth grade, or it's very unlikely, again, that they will pursue the right course of study during high school and excel in their courses to the point that they need to in order to succeed beyond high school. So those are our early indicators. And then we're also looking at things like ACT scores, how students do on the National Career Readiness Test, how we're looking at graduation rates, we're looking at post-secondary enrollment and then completion. And we what we are doing is measuring that so that we have some baseline indicators of where we are currently at a community. We need to be, as I mentioned before, at least 60% completing a degree or credential. Right now, the rate at which our students, according to our best research, is about 45%. So we've got to raise that, as Ready for School did, raise that kindergarten readiness. We have to raise that ultimate post-secondary completion rate from 45 to at least 60% by 2025.
What's exciting about this, too, is this has been a conversation that's been going on now for about 2.5 years with the area superintendents and nonprofits working together with some post-secondary institutions here in town, as well as business and industry. And what stemmed from that was the Herman Miller Academy. I think we've talked about that before on the air, where students from West Ottawa and Holland Public last year as juniors and seniors after school went to Herman Miller and were engaged in elective classes after school. They also got some high school credit for that. And they were in everything from human resource management to design and marketing. And then the students actually had the opportunity to work during the summer. And now some of those students have actually received scholarships and are now studying different levels of engineering or business design at a post-secondary or four university. We took that model and we've expanded it in a much larger sense, and it's now called Connections. And it's a 6th through 13 program where students in 6th and 7th grade get exposed through their regular curriculum the connection or relevance to why do I have to learn this? Why are these skills important? And so teachers have been paired with different businesses and have been developing this curriculum together. So all students in those districts that I mentioned are participating in that program. And if you think about a big funnel, where all kids have that, then when you move down and as students get up to 8th grade, we begin to establish mentoring. And the mentoring component will actually begin next year, where students are paired up with different mentors from the community and different professions to help them have those conversations that Bert was talking about, to begin to think about what does life after high school look like? What careers might I be interested in? What kind of training is going to be important for me to do that? And then comes the middle or early college piece that we're talking about for 10th through 13th year students. And we're really excited about that. We're actually reviewing proposals that we've received from area community colleges and four universities, so that students have the opportunity to earn an associate's degree upon their graduation from the local high schools. And they would be duly enrolled in both high school credit and college credit and to be able to have that. We're looking at associate's degrees in advanced manufacturing, energy storage, agriculture and food preservation. Also looking at some more generalized associate's degree pieces, but really specifically tying that in to the industries here in West Michigan that are really supporting our community at large. Because Ottawa County continues to remain, per capita, one of the fastest growing economic development areas in the country, which is pretty amazing from that standpoint. So I don't know if we need to take a commercial break here, but we can come back and we can talk more about what that early college program looks like.
Body Experts on Facebook and win stuff. Auto Body Experts, where loaner cars are always free. In Holland, in Hudsonville, in Wayland, and on Facebook. Facebook.com/Auto Body Repair.
All right, let's take a look at our weather here. The weather is brought to you by the Farmhouse Restaurant. Check out their fall features from the new menu insert, thefarmhousezealand.com. And the weather outlook is for afternoon rain today with a high of 67. And for tonight, showers early and a low of 51. And tomorrow afternoon showers with a high of 57. Right now we're looking at 49 degrees here in the Tulip City. And back to the superintendent here.
So the early college piece, Duke, what would happen here is as a sophomore in high school, as students have gone through this connections program from 6th and 7th grade, we begin to identify really first-generation college students. That's our focus and goal, to be able to provide some ongoing mentoring and support. And beginning their sophomore year, they begin to be dually enrolled in high school and in college. And so what might happen their sophomore year is they might have one or two classes that are actually college-level classes. They may be taught right on our campuses by our staff. They may be taught on our campuses by whatever college we decide to establish this partnership mm-hmm. with. And then their junior year, they might take, you know, four or five college classes, balance with their high school classes. They're getting dual credit, so they will be able to graduate having their high school diploma and college associate's degree. And then when you get to that senior year, you have probably about 80% of your courses are actually dually enrolled college courses. And then you don't graduate your senior year. You come back that 13th year. And during that 13th year, you have one course that is your high school course, and the rest of your schedule is largely your dual enrollment in college, so that upon the completion of that 13th year, you can actually earn your associate's degree. Now, individuals might say, okay, why would you hold the student back that 13th year to be able to do that? Well, under the current funding structure and the way things work in the state, we're actually able to use the same foundation grant that we receive for a high school student, so then we're able to pay for those college courses at the same time. So in essence, what we have been able to do is we've been able to bridge that gap for students who may not have the resources available to do that and to be able to graduate with that associate's degree. That'll work to getting towards closing that 65% figure that Bert talked about earlier. And students, hopefully from that standpoint, are able to then move into a career or a job or perhaps transfer those credits from their associate's degree into a four-year university program. Now, that requires a lot of support along the way, and with the support of the foundation, we've been able to place college advisors in some of our high schools, and I thought Bert could spend some time talking a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, we've got a great partnership with University of Michigan, Michigan State University, and that they have created the National College Advising. Well, they didn't create it. It exists nationally, but locally in the state of Michigan, they provide what are called college advisors in schools that have a high number of first-generation students that would need this help navigating, figuring out how to apply for college, how to apply for financial aid. And so Michigan State University has placed Carolyn McLean at West Ottawa Public Schools and the University of Michigan and the Community Foundation together. Again, it's a partnership. We partially funded. It's partially funded by the state program. Have placed Kathleen Steinbach at Holland Public Schools. And then we have privately funded Dominique Blanks at Zeeland Public Schools. She works with the East and West Zeeland High Schools. And they have done an amazing job of working with the principals and the counseling staff to focus on that work that is so essential for first-generation students like myself. When I came to my junior year in high school, I would have had no idea how to apply unless my counselor had the time to hand me an application. She actually put it in my hand for the UC schools. I grew up in California. And there's a lot of students in our area that are in that same position. They would not know how to apply. apply for any kind of post-secondary program, whether it be a four-year college or a training program. With budget cuts, we all know how things are in the schools. It is so difficult for every single student to be reached. So to have these particular college advisors in the schools to work with the counseling staff to make sure that every first-generation student, every student who needs that help, gets that one-on-one attention to be able to figure to know how to fill out an application, how to fill out the federal application for federal student aid, and all of those things that are so complex, even for those students who have been before. I've been through college, and it was difficult to get my kids through that process. Imagine what it's like for someone who's never been through that. So they have played a huge role in driving up enrollment and rates in our community.
The other piece that they do, too, is not only are they navigating the paperwork process, they're actually arranging college visits. Mm-hmm. So students are having the opportunity to visit many of our local state community colleges and universities, but also in the state as a whole. And so through this funding and support through the foundation and the universities, we're able to send these students on field trips to go and do college orientation visits.
Mm-hmm.
So students who have never been on a college campus before or whose parents never attended college are able to visit those colleges to see what course offerings there are and connect that back to the Connections program because they've spent some intentional time looking at what might a career placement look like for me. So this is a continuum from this Cradle to Career initiative that began with the Ready for School piece, and now we're looking at that age 5 through 19, 20-year-old piece of what does that look like with that post-secondary. And we're pretty excited about that. So what's happening right now this year from the 7 districts that I mentioned, Holland Public, West Ottawa, Zeeland, Holland Christian, I think I mentioned that twice now, Black River, Hamilton, and Saugatuck, we have over 100 students from each of those schools who are going into those after-school components at area businesses and industry. We also have some city government involved with this and some local nonprofits, where the students are getting firsthand experience and education about what it means to work in a corporation or a company based upon those interest levels. That will continue on into their junior year and their senior year, and also funnel back down into what does that middle college piece look like. So we're really excited to see the different sectors of the community coming together to support our youth, and what does this mean?
Very good.
So what are your initial thoughts on this as a former school board member and someone who's been very invested in the education community? And
these students have got to really bear down and study.
They do. Yes, absolutely.
To keep up the pace.
Mm-hmm.
They do. There's a big commitment there. And we recognize, too, that we have to put in a variety of levels of support to assist the students in that. And that's where the mentoring side is going to become very critically important, too. And so if there is someone out there listening who says, wow, I'd really like to learn a bit more about this and this whole Cradle to Career piece and how might I be able to connect with that, we actually have several videos posted on Holland Public Schools' website. So if you go to hollandpublicschools.org, there's a section called HPS Now, NOW.org, and there are interviews that highlight the different components of this Cradle to Career initiative. So Pat Verdine, who is the executive director with Ready for School, she's there talking more about that early childhood and preschool experience and the mission there and ways that individuals can connect with that. You have Jim Boltman, who was the president of Hope College, who is actually the chair now of the Cradle to Career initiative, talking about his beliefs around that. You have Jason Posada, who is part of the Ottawa Area Intermediate School District, and he's really been the brains behind the scene that has taken all these ideas and put together and crafted the Connections program and talking more specifically about that. I think there's even an interview with Bert on there as well, talking about the destination education side.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to see what has come together and whereas we have such great community organizations that have been doing great work separately because of, with budgets always, to be able to work together in the way that we are working together now under the umbrella of destination education is something that we never were able to afford as individually as LAUP, for example, or Upward Bound or Good Samaritan Ministries and these other organizations that have focused on our youth now with the work that Destination is Education is doing and bringing them together, sharing resources, avoiding needless duplication, bringing them together with the schools. And I had a meeting just yesterday morning with the counseling, with one of the counselors at Holland High, and we've pulled in Good Samaritan Ministries and Escape Ministries and Upward Bound and LAUP and Destination Education to be able to work together on the after-school tutoring piece, which is so critical mm-hmm. for many of our students. And if we had continued working in isolation with one another without that extra layer of Destination Education and Ready for School and what those two initiatives bring by bringing the, what you mentioned earlier, a collective approach, mm-hmm. Not so much establishing a new program, but a new coordination of efforts in the community. So what's going to make a key? It's going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
You take questions?
Yes, we do.
Well, you know, in the Grand Rapids Press, there was an article Sunday that said West Michigan home builders are struggling because of a labor shortage because, as I've been listening to these men talk this morning, it's very interesting, they're pushing college. Their percentage of kids that go on to college is what they like to talk about. And I know that any time you hear a list of people that are needed for employment, it's everything from builders to mechanics to welders. Welders are one of the top things that they need, you know, and they make good money. And so do the builders. He said they make $35 an hour. And in the community college in Grand Rapids, he said they have 5 students enrolled in the building program. I would like to comment on that.
That's an excellent point because that's one of the key messages of the Cradle to Career Initiative and Destination Education is that we're not just talking about a 4-year college because there's so much need for other kinds of training, and so we try to be really careful and talk about either a degree or credential, whatever fits the student, whatever fits the particular situation in the community, and so we've really struggled to use the word post-secondary.
Correct.
We really struggle to talk about credentialing or degree, you know. So this caller is absolutely correct. We need to be making sure that we are guiding students who they're not cut out for a 4-year college. 4-year college leaves people with debt, and they end up not wanting to go in those kinds of careers that they were trained for, and they would have been much, much happier welding and or doing some other kind of hands-on career. It just depends on what this. We want to help each student fulfill their unique potential.
Right, and that talent development. I think one of the latest statistics says there's about going to be 70,000 different career and different job opportunities available in the future that don't even exist today.
Right,
and so the real key here is being able to prevent that flexibility with it. And part of the post-secondary training and doing some of this dual enrollment and pieces like that is to establish students to be much more engaged in their learning and take them to a much deeper level of learning and thinking and problem-solving and mm-hmm. creativity and flexibility, all the 21st century skills that we've been talking about. So whether you're a welder or a CNC operator or establishing a food preservation or your own farm here in West Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, agriculture is a significant component of our state as a whole, and especially here in West Michigan, that you're going to be able to have those skills to be able to develop that potential to be able to do that. Because we know that the ability for students just to graduate from high school anymore and go into a factory-level related job without some kind of post-secondary training to be able to have the kind of lifestyle that the caller talked about and to move forward is going to be increasingly challenging across the board.
Indeed.
And we have to look specifically at our graduation rates. And so one of the things that this initiative is also focused on is looking at the achievement gap that exists across West mm-hmm. Michigan yeah. in the schools that we've talked about. So we're really breaking down this data to look at the differences in socioeconomic status, so how are students performing at different income levels of families. We're also looking specifically, too, at how are Latino students doing in comparison to our Caucasian students? How are African-American students doing? How are our special education students, our second language learners? And right now we have some gaps in those across the board, and we're really working strategically to say, how do we bridge those two together and work to narrow or close those gaps over time to be able to make sure that all of our students are being afforded these same opportunities?
Yeah. I mean, it's critical for our community because you recognize, and again, we're talking about post-secondary, so that includes college or some kind of credential. About 50% of our Caucasian students are obtaining some kind of degree or credential. that is only between 15 to 23% of our Latino students, and that is, and the Latino students make up about half of the population of West Ottawa and Holland Public Schools. So that's some major work that needs to be done. Where 75% of those students are not moving on beyond high school is a gap that needs to be addressed in order to make sure that we have a prosperous community in the future.
Well, don't you think some of that starts in the home?
Absolutely, and so that's one of the huge initiatives of Destination Education is to address, to help guide the students themselves, but also to address the parents. My dad, for example, when I was growing up, he would look at my report card. If there weren't all A's on it, I would get disciplined. But he had no idea how to help me with my studies. He had no idea how to communicate with my teachers. He had no idea how to help me navigate a path beyond post-secondary. And so to equip many of those families that want to be equipped, but that vehicle for equipping those parents hasn't existed thus far, that is one of the main thrusts of Destination Education, is to come in and around that family and engage the family, engage the community around that student in a way that we haven't done successfully before, by working together as a community, so the schools aren't struggling to do it alone, but nonprofits that have those connections, natural connections oftentimes with the parents and other vehicles, are able to come around the families in a way that will bring success for those students.
And engaging families is one of the three major focus areas of the Ready for School initiative, too.
Huge.
So we can't engage families all of a sudden when the student becomes a high school student and academics become a challenge. That's way too late. We need to be engaging families at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have many different groups that are working across our community. They have different play groups. They have different settings in where people are coming together to talk about parenting, what it means to be a parent, how to recognize those appropriate developmental milestones over time. Sometimes some of our parents are still kids themselves in
mm-hmm.
many ways.
Right.
And so we're really trying to look at how do we address that continuous cycle to be able to make sure that as decisions are made to be parents, how do we have the education and the income to support a family and to nurture mm-hmm. that further development so that our kids are going to be successful too. I firmly believe that there isn't anybody in our community that wants to be and wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be a bad parent today.
Right.
I think everyone does the absolute best that they can. But sometimes I need assistance in moving down that pathway and understanding what should I be looking for in terms of speech development? What should I be looking for in terms of physical motor development? As the kids get into elementary school, what should I be looking for to make sure my student has that third grade reading proficiency? What does that eighth grade math piece
right.
look like and so on? So engaging families is a key component of
yeah.
this, Duke.
Right.
Thanks for bringing up that point.
Yeah.
And we're running out of time already this morning.
I'm out of time. I knew we would.
Well, we really appreciate the chance
yeah,
to talk about
you.
Destination Education and learn more about the Cradle to Career Initiative in our community.
Thanks so much for being our guest today
right.
here on Talk.
Thank you
Talk.
Very much, Duke. Thanks, Brian.